to talk about the Word of God today. So go with me this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. This is scripture. These scriptures I'm about ready to read, I go to constantly because I realize it has the life of God in these two scriptures. Paul, the spiritual father, is writing to the spiritual son, Timothy. And he's telling him all kinds of things, and he's very proud of Timothy and the work that he's doing. And of course, some people scorn him because of his youth and things of that nature. But he comes from good stock. He got a mama and a grandma, but boy, that just knew the Word of God, that loved the Word of God, that just enjoyed being around the Lord Jesus, enjoyed being and listening to what he said. Now, to me, the Word of God is very progressive. It really is. And you got to remember, there's some things in the Word of God today in the Old Testament that we don't do, but you don't lose it. You don't take it out because it still has some great revelation for you. For example, we don't offer up blood sacrifices like the Jews did of the old days, but today because of the supreme sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you ask the Lord to forgive you your sin, you're actually reminding God of the sacrifice that his blood washed your sin away. And it's a powerful thing. So I want to read, and I like the old King James Version because it's my generation, I guess you could say. I like it because it's poetical. It's hard to quote in the Amplified. But what's good, I would tell everyone in this whole church to get an Amplified translation. Because if you read something that you don't understand in the King James, go to the Amplified. And I tell you what, they're going to amplify it so loud that you're going to get it. It may 35 words to get you to understand one word, but at least it's there. At least you know it. And so I want to deal with 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to start reading with verse 16. And I'm going to ask you the question. The title of the sermon is, did you pick it up today? Amen. What do you mean? Did you pick it up today? Look at me. Did you pick it up yesterday? Did you pick it up last week? Are you going to pick it up tomorrow? Are you going to pick it up next week? Will you live by this, stand by this, walk by this? Be what this is. Because see, that's what the world wants to see today. Is somebody believe what they say? Honesty. Not so they can win something. Not so they can just get ahead or try to get a vote, for lack of a better way to say it. But to think it daily until it comes to pass and be what it says. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says all. Everybody say all.
All.
That means everything out of these 66 books. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? Because it's inspired. And then it tells you what it does and it's profitable. Everybody say profitable. For doctrine, because see, doctrine dictates what you receive in life, what you believe in life, and who you are in life. Doctrine. What do you believe? If you don't believe in something, you will fall for anything. So let me read it this way again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. So there's some things in here that needs to teach us like you teach your children. Love and his purest form, you've heard me say it many times, is discipline. For correction. Notice that, for correction. Everybody say correction. Because sometimes we get off the line. Because we begin to go by what we feel instead of by what he said. Your children do it all the time. They don't feel like going to sleep. They don't feel like doing that. That's what starts it. It's them feelings. See? So correction has to come. And I don't think any good parent enjoys correction. If you do, you're the one that needs prayer. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. Now, why would he say that? Because most people today do not understand righteousness at all. They don't understand righteousness conscious. They understand sin conscious. Because that's what the church has preached for over 2,000 years. To make you so aware of sin and yet not make you realize that sin has been washed away. You see what I'm saying? You understand? Washed away. And the only way it comes back to you is if you commit it or draw it back. But because you've heard how bad you can be or was, it's hard for you to get away from that. When God says you're the righteousness of God, well, I know he said that. You feel, well, I can't just be that. Yes, you can. This is this book. Did you pick it up today? Well, you pick it up tomorrow. Instruction in righteousness. Now, notice that in the King James, the grammar here, or the punctuation mark says colon. Stop. The sentence is not over with. That the man of God or the people of God may be perfect or matured. Thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly now. Everybody say thoroughly. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I love children. I love babies. I like young people. But I like to see them grow up. I got to eat lunch yesterday with my daughter and my granddaughter, and it was a blessing. And I was watching her. She's lost her teeth in the front. Poor little gums all swollen up, you know, because them teeth are breaking through the skin. I think it just broke through about two weeks ago, whatever it is. And I mean, I was just watching her, you know, and she was kind of giving her mom a little hard time, just playing with it and all that kind of stuff and enjoying it. And, I remembered when they put her in my hand or in my arms, no matter than just a few minutes after she was born, and how quick 6.5 years have gone by, just that quick. So she was a beautiful baby. She's a beautiful little girl. That's not the issue. But I am enjoying seeing her grow up, but I still want her as a baby. You see what I'm saying? So I'll always have her as a baby in my memories. It's good to have memories. See, that's why I think Alzheimer's needs to be really prayed for against every day, because what it does is destroy your memories, which is who you are, what you've done, what you've accomplished. And what you will do, because you'll tell yourself and set it in memories before it comes to pass. So I was just watching and I was thinking about those different things, you know, and she likes meatballs. And so I got her some meatballs and stuff like that. And she liked corn dogs. She took one bite and she says, I'm full, because I think she wanted to play more than eat. Maybe she had a big breakfast or something. I don't know. But anyway, it was nice to see her and walk, you know, and then she has her own time frame. She will talk to you till she's had enough of you. And then she tell you, take a hike. Don't y'all need to go home? Or something to that effect, you know. But yet what I'm saying is all that she does is pleasing in my sight. Even when she does wrong. Because it doesn't hinder any love I have for her when she makes a mistake or when she gets mad. That doesn't make any difference. She's learning, and I can understand that. You see, I want you to understand this. So there's some things in this Bible I still don't like at all. But I'm still learning. Because God started the verse off with all. Let's read it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God or the people of God may be matured, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So write this down if you're taking notes. The saving knowledge of scripture is a science, not of the intellect, but of the heart. The saving knowledge of scripture, because the scripture is a saving thing, is a science. The saving knowledge of scripture is a science, not of the intellect, but of the heart. See, that's why people, the theoretical physicists cannot understand the word of God, because to them, science is intellect. Yet they ask us to believe some things that are completely unbelievable. Like what happened before the Big Bang? Let me give you an idea of what a theoretical physicist will tell you. He says singularity. Now when you hear that word singularity, let me give you the definition. They don't even know what that means. They have no concept of singularity. They just came up with a word, singularity. Just there it was. And the greatest mind, I don't mean this to be critical, just be truthful, today in science is Stephen Hawking, who has now said there is no God, because before the Big Bang, what was God do? Creating hell? You know, and he's living in hell. For a man to be that smart and to be that stupid is ridiculous. Got a God that can heal him, so you don't have to have a computer to read his eye, to produce a voice. But he'd rather think singularity, which means nobody knows. Based your whole life on something you don't know. Take it back. 14 or 13.7, depending on what theoretical physics you're talking about, 13.8 or 14.2 billion years ago. Universe, Big Bang, That's what they say. They're also going to tell you how it's going to end. Now, if they don't know how it began, we need to leave them single. Singularity. Yeah, there are some things out there that I'm not stupid. I can see how things happen. Like in 4.5 billion years, the galaxy Andromeda is going to hit the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is where we live. It's a beautiful galaxy. It's big. Spiral. But something's coming at us, and it's going to hit us in about 4.5 billion years. And they're going to change it from the Milky Way and the Andromeda galaxy to the Milkadrama. That's what they call it. These are the smartest people in the world. These are Princeton, Yale, Harvard, Columbia, Duke. Okay. Now they say it's almost a zero chance that the stars will bang against each other because of such great miles and distance between each one of them. Really? But what will happen is that the massive clouds of gas and dust is the ones that are going to crush together, and that will happen, and gravity will make it, and all of a sudden we won't be spiral no more. We will just be like an elliptic galaxy. It makes for good conversation. It does make you think till you can't think no more. Because you see, it gets to a point where your intellect goes, I'm going to have to accept this by faith. They begin to actually use a biblical term called faith and expect you to believe it. But it's all based on science. But yet the word of God, the saving knowledge of scripture, is a science, but not of the intellect, but of the heart. And who can determine what the heart is? Because one second you don't love someone and the next second you do. How did that happen? Did you have a big bang? One minute you like the guy and the next minute you want to spend eternity with him. What happened? What was before you? You fell in love. Let me help you. Singularity. Which means you don't know. You just hoping you get there. Write this down. The word of God is inspired because it inspires. It is not only perfect, but it's designed to make you perfect. Or matured. Let me say it again. The word of God is inspired. Why? Because it inspires. It is not only perfect, but it is designed to make man or the human race perfect. So you can stand before God, who is a perfect being in every manner, in every way. See what I'm saying? So when I read the word of God, what I'm doing is perfecting myself. There are places in my life that need furniture. I'm not thoroughly furnished yet. Amen. You see what I'm saying? And even on your deathbed, if you should die before Jesus comes, there's some places in your life you have not yet attained. You will learn something the day you die. I was telling Nate, we were talking the other day about this terrible accident. A terrible accident happened in the Grand Bahamas. You might have heard about it. Terrible, terrible thing. Make a long story short, I told Nate, if Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, now, you know, I'm older than Nate. I'm 20-something years older than you are. So in the natural, I should go first. But that may not be true. But I would say this, if you ever have to, let me just say this, you can put it on, you'll be on video. If I go home to be with the Lord and you at my funeral, just remember this, my spirit got bigger than my body. And my body couldn't contain me anymore. Amen. I was like a crab. I had to shed. I had to shed so I could grow. Because I will still be growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, even when I get in heaven. Amen. So remember that. If that happens, just remember that my spirit got bigger than my body could contain. You see what I'm saying? So that makes for a happy thing. You follow what I'm saying? So the word of God is inspired because it inspires. It's not only perfect, but it's designed to make man perfect. Watch this. Write this down. Because it's a human book. Everybody say human book. Because it's a human book that appeals to humanity, you must take it into your experience. Because it's a human book and it appeals to you as a human being, you have to take it into your experience. Why? So it can dictate and make you understand why you're going through this or why did this happen? People say good, bad things happen to good people. I reverse that. I don't believe that. I believe good people happen to bad things. See, I reverse it. Why? Because I take this book, which is humanity, and I bring it into my experience. Do you see what I'm saying? See, when you understand that, then all of a sudden you begin to understand doctrine. You begin to understand reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. Man, I love that. I love being righteous. I'm not trying to feel righteous. I am righteous. Let me even get stronger. I am the righteousness of God, which is as high as you can get. Now, when you say that, because you've learned by tribulation instead of revelation, you kind of scared. Who do you think you are? Everything that humanity book says I am.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything. All of it. So I bring it into my experience. So in other words, if Satan tries to attack my body, watch this, and I'm going to help you with this, and you have physical pain in your body. You sick as a dog. You hurting. We don't deny that because that's humanity. But I bring in this human book into my humanity and speak to my pain.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there's a scripture in 2 Peter 2 that says, by his stripes you were healed. Were. But I am sick. Right. I'm trying to get you to were from am. By bringing scripture into your experience. And if it doesn't happen right away, it don't make no difference. If you don't pay the attention to the time will shorten up. Because Satan will back off of you. But if you keep talking it, he says, it's working. Let's keep it there.
Amen.
Now, it's hard not to talk about it if you're hurting. I understand that. It's hard not to talk about it if you're struggling financially. But if you take this Bible and bring it into your financial situation, it'll change it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's inspired. Inspires you to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Now, I'm doing a little teaching today. Write this down. The Bible is an ancient book, but it's always fresh and fragrant.
Amen.
It's an ancient book. I love seeing the weaknesses of Abraham. Makes me feel better. I've yet to find a weakness in Jesus. What's that old boy on Fox? Bill, what's his name? Bill O'Reilly wrote Killing Jesus. I've never read the book. I read his Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln, but I haven't read the Killing Jesus. And now he got killing on his mind because the next one's Killing Patton. I hope he don't write Killing Jesse. Oh, gee, he got killing on his mind for some reason. And someone told me that they read it and said that Jesus was in fear. See, that's an intellectual mind trying to understand a spiritual concept.
Amen.
That's ridiculous. Why? Because the Bible said perfect love casteth out all fear. See, so God would have to cast himself out. And Jesus was Christ, God manifested in the flesh, the incarnate word of God. The Word was made God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. It became this God that everybody says that don't know exists, does exist, walked around as a human being. Over 500 people saw him elevate up and go into the clouds, and they still doubted. That's the intellect. It'll take you just so far. Then you get theoretical. You start preaching a theory as a fact when you haven't even proved the theory. So the Bible is an ancient book, but it's always fresh and fragrant. Let me go over this. The saving knowledge of Scripture is a science, not of the intellect, but of the heart. The Word of God is inspired because it inspires. It is not only perfect, but is designed to make man perfect. Because it's a human book that appeals to humanity, you must take it into your experience. Because it's an ancient book, it's always fresh and fragrant. So if I have a pain in my body, I just get on 2 Peter 2:24 and I say, by his stripes I am healed. Boy, I just begin to smell healing, Lord Jesus. And I just keep saying it. After a while, I convince myself it's true and the body goes, okay. And it shuts itself down and begins to listen. See, it's coming out of a renewed mind. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You so that you may prove it that acceptable, perfect will of God. What's the acceptable, perfect will of God? For you to be healed, for you to feel good. Not for you to feel bad. I mean, how many people enjoy pain? Unless you just sit. You enjoy sickness. I mean, do you get up with your head split and boy, this is one fine headache? No, I just don't think so. Right? What they call those kind that beat your brains out of? Migraine. Boy, just the word migraine. Oh, Lord. Now write this down. The scripture is not a substitute for thought, but an incentive to think. It's not a substitute for thought, but an incentive to think. See, that's why our great minds need to really become biblical. Because they love to think. And God will give them people something to think about. In fact, he might even be able to define singularity. So the scripture is not a substitute for thought, but it's an incentive to think, see? Because of all scripture. So when I read how Abraham did what he did with Isaac, that makes my mind think. Then come from thinking comes something on a higher level. It's called listening. Sometimes I don't want to think at all. I quit thinking and I let my listening go around to certain parts of my brain so it will open up something in there that hadn't been opened. Because you only use 10% of your brain. You got 90% lying dormant. And the way you open up those parts that are lying dormant is what you're doing right now. Listening. Waiting for me to say something next. Or say the point slower so I can write them down. The scripture is not a substitute for thought, but an incentive to think. So once you start thinking. Isn't that amazing sometime when you're just sitting there, you're not thinking about nothing, you're just listening. Boom, something opens up that happened when you were 6 years old. You could see it. What happened? There was a part of the brain that came alive because listening unlocked it and brought it out. And what does God say? It's better to obey. How do you obey? By listening. Then sacrifice. So the scripture is not a substitute for thought, but an incentive to think. Write this down. To understand its treasure. Everybody say treasure. Treasure. There's a treasure in this word of God. I almost shock you now. I'm going to make somebody mad. It'll make you physically rich beyond your wildest dreams. Ask Solomon. He could buy Gates and Buffett and all them other people with his pocket change. Solomon, no man ever been that rich or will ever be that rich. When you got a rich woman saying you rich, that's rich. The Queen of Sheba said, whoo! She got so excited she passed out. Go read it. Send the scripture. Go, oh, she passed out. Lord Jesus. That's rich, son. Get yourself up, mama. Just pass out. Whoo! Even his slaves enjoyed being a slave around Solomon. My God. Yeah. Glory to God. Think about that. This guy is wealthy. Who made him wealthy? God. So if that's wrong, why did God make him wealthy? If money is so bad, and you shouldn't talk about it, because it's not politically correct. It's what creates politics. If you want to get rid of all this politics, don't give no more money to politicians. You won't hear about them no more. They tell you, money is what runs it. To understand its treasure, you must dig for it. It must be mined before it's ready for currency. Before you can spend it. You see, let me say it again. To understand its treasure, talking about this scripture, glory to God. Did you pick it up today? Ooh. You must dig for it. You got to get in there, boy. Dig, study to show thyself approved unto God. I mean, get your spiritual pickaxe out. Let's go to work on this thing. It must be mine. My God, man, go over and over it. Why? Because you're refining something for you to use before it's ready to be spent, before it's ready for currency. And what I mean by when it went by ready for currency, so when sickness hits you like the flu, nope. I don't accept that. Boom. Because you have dug it out and mined it and perfected it in your life. Because that's a doctrine healing. Satan will go, boom, boom. It just hits the force. And it can't get into your body. You'll have a hard time dying. See, because now you're using it as currency. I use money as currency. I'm constantly giving somewhere. Now, some people like to get around me because they know I'm a giver, which is an insult to my intelligence. I was born at night, but not last night. You know what I'm trying to say? Now, would you like somebody to like you just because of what you can do for them? That's a little rude. That's a little hurtful, don't you think? I would say so. But I like being a blessing. I just like being a blessing. Went to the Cheesecake Factory yesterday. This lady says, every waiter in here knows you. Why? Because I'm good looking? Nah, don't think so. Because I'm white-headed? No, don't think so. Why do they want me to sit in this section? Treasure. They know I'm going to bless them. Especially if they make Kathy happy, I'm going to bless them. I even bless guys that don't do very well. I sow seed in their life to help them. Sometimes I want to tell them, go to beauty school, cause you're going to starve to death doing this. You know, but I don't want to say that. You can't do this. But I mean, yes, you can. See, before you can spend it as currency, you can't just believe it. You've got to know it. You got to know in whom you have believed. How do I do that? By studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, and not be ashamed. Which means you can be ashamed when you don't study the word of God because you don't know what to do when an incident comes. Then you rightly divide the word of truth. Let me say it again so you can write it down. To understand its treasure, you must dig for it. It must be mined before it's ready for currency. Yeah, but you know how God changes his mind. No, he don't. God don't ever change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ always says the same thing about the same things. Write that down. Christ always says the same thing about the same things. He's not going to let you have cancer, heal one other person cancer, and let you die with it to teach you something. Because that would make him a respecter of person. How come he's going to heal you, but he's not going to heal that person? See, they're going to blame that on God. See, that's learning about tribulation instead of revelation. Well, you know, God healed this person, but he didn't heal. You know, when, and then you get people writing magazines when God doesn't heal. He's always saying, he said, by his stripes you were healed. But they see, they don't get that. Because you see, they haven't mined the scripture. They haven't dug it out and refined it so they can spend it like currency. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. So what are the doctrines of the Bible? Do you know the tenets of the faith? Do you know what Covenant Church believes? Do you know what Jesse the Planet believes? Let me help you. Do you know what God believes? Most people just know what God says. They don't really know what God believes. They really don't understand righteousness at all. They're more sin conscious than they are righteousness conscious. Why? Because we preach more sin conscious than we've ever did righteousness conscious. And you have faith for what you hear. You see? Your ears are very important. That's the organ where you receive to create faith. And I said that last week, the genesis of faith. When you understand that. So Christ always says the same thing about the same things. See, I believe in the 30, 60, and 100-fold because he can't change that. He said it. Now, he also said, brother, with persecution. Which means there are going to be some people in St. Charles Parish not going to like me. That's a fact. Amen. I can show you some. But don't laugh. Some of them don't like you neither. There's some people in St. John Parish, Marty, don't like you. They don't like you. You're too tall. They got short people going, eh. You see, that's persecution. But if you want to make somebody mad, you just talk about money. Or talk about an offering. Oh, Lord Jesus, they just have flaming fits. And that's exactly what they need. They need help so bad. And they're so mad at you. Like you've heard me say one time, one man said, I don't like your house. I said, no, you love my house. You don't like your house. That's why you mad. You don't like your house. You want mine. That's just be honest. One of the worst sins, one of the worst things you can be infected with is envy. Because its child is jealousy. The book of Job says jealousy is crueler than the grave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Christ always says the same thing about the same things. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you may be thoroughly furnished. Wouldn't that be a crazy thing if somebody jumped up and said, 2 and 2 is not 4? You've learned that all your life. 2 plus 2 is 4. All of a sudden they say, we were wrong. 2 plus 2 is 9. Or is that called Common Core? Not being political here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, let me go on here. How do I know it's God? How do I know that the scripture is for me? There's a word in here. Perfection. Look for it. Perfection is the sign and signature of all God's works. Perfection. He doesn't just heal a little bit. He doesn't just save a little bit. He does it all. It's the sign and signature of all his works. Every bit of it. Glory to God. You want to know it's God. If it's perfect, it is. That's his signature. Perfection. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed going in. Blessed going out. Go look in the book of Deuteronomy after service today and go find out. I ain't going to tell you what's that. You have to search for it. When God says, when there will no longer be poor people. Then he starts talking about the poor that you need to help them. Mm-hmm. To train them to get out of this poverty. Amen. Yeah. I mean, what would happen if everybody was rich? Would you like an example of that? Heaven. Oh, amen. Ain't no government cheese. That's right. There's no welfare system. There's no one in any way, shape, or form struggling. Every time I read about them, they're all happy. No sicknesses. No Obamacare. No hospitals. Gold streets. Diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. With the light of God flickering it as it's faceted. Everything you can think of. No. It's beyond what you can ask or think. Now that is perfection. It's his perfect signature of God's works. Did you pick it up today? Amen. Are you going to pick it up tomorrow? Amen. Will you teach your children this? So they can see the signs in life. The writers of the Bible were saturated with divine truth. Write it down. They didn't say they were perfect. They were saturated with divine truth. Out of that saturation sprang forth utterance. You see, God took something imperfect to say perfect things. Now, buddy, it would take a theoretical physicist to understand that. Because, see, when they can't understand that, you know what they say? It goes against all the law of physics. Because they can only think in terms of physics. When there's so much more than that. You see, they were saturated. Soaked. You ever got caught in a rainstorm? Most English people, they say, you're soaking wet. Now, if you're a true Frenchman from Paris, you say this, I'm soaked to the bones. Meaning you are flat, stinking wet. One time on a motorcycle, me and Kathy were driving home and just enjoying ourselves, and we always tried to outrun the rain. Why? Because if anyone would put their rain suits on, aggravating to put rain suits on because they're hot, but they keep them from getting wet. So, man, I'm cranking that thing. I could see that black car. Guy says, I think you're going to make it. I think, oh, no, you ain't going to make it. Wham, we got hit. I couldn't see the front of the motorcycle. That's how bad it was. Kathy said, there's an exit. Turn off. I will never listen to that woman again. I turned off. Watch this. And he goes up. I thought it was kind of odd that it would go up. And I thought, well, I guess we'll go over the road and come down. And there was nothing there. We'd have fell 40 foot. I hit the brakes. I said, God! And I was so mad, but I was soaking. She's just standing there, just water just coming down. Her. I don't know why you listen to me. You never listened to me before. she said, it's on the map. It wouldn't have been a map. We'd have come off that crazy thing. Then we busted out laughing. Thank God. So we drove, found a little store. So we walked in. I mean, I'm telling you. We were soaked to the bone. Running water, running out of our shoes, running. I mean, we just come walking in, and the man say, y'all like motorcycle riding, don't you? We said, yeah, we do. You have a bathroom so we can change? Because we're going to put on these rain suits. You know what I'm saying? So we walked in that bathroom. He said, Lord, I'm in puddles. You can hear, as we walk. I mean, we were soaked to the bone. Man, we changed clothes, got on another pair of jeans, t-shirt. We come out like that, man. We looked, and it was bright, sunny. I said, you want to gamble? She said, yeah. I said, you lose every time you gamble. I ain't listening to you. We were soaking wet. These guys, these people were soaking wet. Saturated. Let me say it again. The writers of the Bible were saturated with divine truth. Out of that saturation sprang forth utterance. My Lord. You see, it just began. People that were imperfect begin to say perfect things. Which leads me to this statement that I said 25 years ago. Everything in the Bible is truth. Look at me when I say this. Everything in the Bible is truthfully stated. But not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth. And ministers, preachers, theologians who are intellectual, and I believe in intellect, begin to preach statements as statements of truth when they were truthfully stated. They were not statements of truth. Let me explain that. If we was at a board of directors meeting here, let's just say we had a covenant church meeting, and this man said, Brother Jesse, can I say something? I said, yeah, and he stand up and say, you know, when I was coming into church today, I saw a dog. He had 4 heads and 9 legs. So I would tell, let's say Judas, the secretary, I say, write that down there, Judah, that the man said he saw a dog with 4 heads and 9 legs. So Judah, write it down. Okay. We come back next Sunday and bless God. I said, would y'all like for the reading of the minutes? Yes. Now I said, so I said, Judah, what did they say? And Judah said, this gentleman over here said he saw the dog with 4 heads and 9 legs. Is that the truth? Yes. It's a little confusing, isn't it? Yeah, that's the truth. He said that, but it's not a statement of truth. Because if he saw one, that's a sick dog, boy. One bad looking dog, that's all I can say. You see, it was truthfully stated. But it was not a statement of truth. So we took things that were truthfully stated, watch this, and try to become so astute, so learned, from intellect instead of the spirit, our heart, that we preach those truthfully stated things as statement of truth when there wasn't. Now, do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, how you know that is by digging in this thing and training, because it's training you. It already knows your tomorrow and it'll fix it up before you get there. Amen. That's what it's wanting to do. Write this down. It is a collection of the most spiritual utterances from the most spiritual people of the most spiritual race of the past. Notice that you don't add any more to the Bible. That's it. It is a collection of the most spiritual utterances, my God, from the most spiritual people of the most spiritual race of the past. Let me explain that. Let's take the earth and make it a plane, just like a big field. And watch this. I'm going to talk about the Jews, and I'm going to give them some honor. A Semitic tribe. Yet there's tribes all over around them. This one tribe decided to get away from believing in all kind of gods. Now remember, they're just next door to the ones that believe in all kind of gods. They all started out believing in all kind of gods. Abraham's family were heathens. Okay? This one tribe, God saw something in this one tribe that he would reveal to the world himself completely. They kept that. The most hated people in the world are the Jews. The most successful people in the world are the Jews. Doctors, lawyers, the internet, all this atomic energy, all this came from Jewish minds. Watch it. They kept that. They were called the chosen people. They had the gall and the guts to say that God chose them, and they kept himself. Till they got to a point that they didn't want to hear nothing else. They wanted a Messiah, and when he came, they couldn't recognize him. Because they couldn't figure it out homiletically, hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically. And God called them stiff-necked. You ever wake up with a stiff neck? No matter what. I'm not being critical, I'm just saying the truth. Yet they've done such phenomenal things. The world has tried to destroy the Jewish race almost every century. They have all died. The Hitlers are in the graves. But the Jewish people are still here. Because they held something. They believed that they were chosen. They got so aggravated, they said, choose someone else. But they couldn't get away from what they had in them. Why? Why? It was God trying to reveal himself. So then God said, I'm going to take something out. I'm going to send myself so I can open it up to the whole world. No. Got a little selfish. And that angel proclaims the birth of Jesus. He shall be for all people. Go read this book of Luke. Which means now me and you have a chance. We have been adopted into the family. We weren't biological. But God put us in the family. He engrafted us. Into this revelation of this word. So when I read this, it says Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. I'm in there. I was in there at the Garden of Eden. When he breathed the breath of life into Adam. How do I know that? He didn't give him CPR. He didn't breathe in his mouth. Breathed in his nostrils. And if you read, you'll see that he breathed life. No, he breathed lives. I was one of them lives. From the beginning, he saw it all open up. But he had to get someone to believe it first. And hold to it, see. But what happened is they became so traditional that when the Messiah came, they said, that can't be him. Which brings me to this point. You must study it with an innocent eye. Talking about the scripture. A pure heart. A longing for truth. And a purpose to obey it. The reason why I read the Bible, my main purpose is to obey it. Let me say it again. You must study it with an innocent eye. A pure heart, a longing for truth, and a purpose to obey it. Every time I open this book, I want to obey it. But I have a longing for the truth of it. I want to have a pure heart, and I have to be innocent. Like when I talk to my granddaughter or when I talk to a child, you're dealing with innocence here, impurity. That's a wonderful thing. You got to be careful not to hurt. They don't know how to handle their emotions. Most of them grow up not knowing how to handle their emotions. Because all adults are still children. Because all in fits your kid learned, they saw you do it. We are a really great example, aren't we? We beat our kids for the stuff they saw us do. How do kids learn to cuss? Where do you learn them words at? I mean, did you ever hear a new baby just born say, damn, it was dark in there. I woke you up there. I thought I figured that was just kind of shock. Now, that I'm a Cajun for you watching all over the world. That ain't cussing here. This is culture we're talking about here, a little culture. This is a little culture here. But if you really want the worst part of it, they added God in front of that. Now, that's even worse. I ain't going to say no more. I'm just want y'all to know that. Y'all, wait a second. Say something else. We were talking one time, me and Nate, and he told me his grandfather's favorite curse word. It was funny. I ain't telling you what it is, but it was funny. Because he said it when he was mad, and he said it when he was glad. See, because you determine your definition of how you feel. I never forget one time, Nate just freaked me out. I busted out laughing. I said, Nate, I felt like giving, but this is, he asked for something I couldn't give him. I said, what do you want? He said, hair. I want hair down here. Can you imagine y'all get there? You're going to see faster than Nate. Come on, hair. Long, beautiful hair. That song. He showed me a picture of him marrying Michelle. He said, that's me, Jesse. I said, no. See all that hair? Well, we were saying, don't look at Michelle. Look at my hair. Look at my hair. There was this beautiful little, beautiful blonde-headed girl just looking at him like this. They don't see nothing. He goes, look at the hair. It's great. You must study it with an innocent eye, a pure heart, a longing for truth, a purpose to obey it. Why? Let me close with this. This scripture, write it down, is clothed and crowned with immortal power. In it is the Big Bang. Let me help the theoretical physics. I believe in the Big Bang too. And God said, light be, boom.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I believe in that. But it was not in chaos. And yet the universe is so full of chaos. Why? Because in that revolution, when Satan fell, he caused great chaos in the heavenlies. And we think that's how we started. No. The scripture is clothed and crowned with immortal power. It rejoices in its possession of undecaying strength. The word of God cannot decay. It rejoices in its undecaying strength, its possession of it. That's what keeps me so excited about it. Because even when I'm having a, quote, bad day, I read something, it inspires me. I go, whoa, I'm going to believe that. And the strength of that. And I've got to accept it by faith with an innocent eye. He tells me to believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. And when I say some things to some minister, they think I done lost my mind. But I found me a guy that likes what I say. His name is Andrew Womack. He asked me to preach at his college, so I went and preached. He looked at me and says, I like you. I want to get to know you more. Because see, he's got to believe for some big stuff. I said, what you believe for? He told me. And I'm $4 million higher for the finances to do what I want to do in this ministry. Finally, he says, my God, I found somebody. He said, I tell somebody I need this amount of money. They go. He said, when I told you, you went, ah, hey, someone I can agree with here. He said, what do you believe for? And it was $4 million more. He said, God, man, this is great. I said, yeah. We inspired each other with our visions.
Amen.
It was a good day. He didn't do this when I told him. He went, God, man. I know what he was thinking. I was doing the same thing. Both of us. If two of us agree. Two of us agree. I didn't get any of this. Oh, he think he is. You know God ain't going to do something like that. You see what I'm saying? He knows the strength of the word. I know the strength. I'm giving him honor where honor's due. He knows the strength. I know the strength. Let me say it again. The scripture is clothed and crowned with immortal power. It rejoices in its possession of undecaying strength. Man, oh my God. It's going to be stronger tomorrow, Pat, than it is today. Isn't that wonderful? It's going to be stronger, man. And why is it? Yeah, but I'm kind of weak. Well, let the weak say. Let me say it again. Let the weak say. Let the weak say. Let the weak say.
Amen.
See, you waiting for somebody to say something when you the one ought to be saying it. Yeah, but what are people going to think? That don't mean no did what they think. You couldn't change it anyway. We have such talent. Let me close it. We have such talent in Covenant Church. I don't get to see it very often because I travel so much. I love the attitude. We got a lot of winners in this church. People willing to work hard. Battle for the paddle. Sweat like a Missouri mule for 12 hours for a piece of wood. We got people cooking gumbo, making jambalaya. Lord Jesus, man. That's hard work. And if you always notice, the day after is when it's cool. It's not cool on the day that you do it. It'd just be cool on the day that you do it. But it isn't the day after you're freezing. The day before, sweat like a mule. Out there, boy, to get the battle for the paddle. Go up against some big opposition. Valerio. Way more employed, way more than this church. That's big, man. People coming up and saying, boy, I tell you what, y'all got some of the best gumbo. We got the best gumbo of you. Lord, gee, let me have some more of that jambalaya. And what makes it so good is Covenant Church sweat. Falling in them pots. That's what it is. I see Richard just sweating like a mule. I see that my brother, where he is, I don't know if he's here today, making that gumbo, sweating like a mule. Boy. You're chopping them. They're excited about it. Isn't that something? Why? Got a vision. I want that paddle. And I think the one they want the most is the people's choice, right? The people's choice. The people's choice. I'm going to say it. But we got too good. And they didn't like the people's choice. So they did something else. I'm Jesse Duplantis and I approve this message. But we still got a paddle. And I'm not saying that to brag about it. I'm saying it what people said. I don't know why anybody else wouldn't. This is it. I know why. Persecution for the jambalaya sake. Persecution for the gumbo sake. Can't let that covenant church do all that. I'm saying it on worldwide television. I went, ain't nobody ever heard of St. Charles Parish worldwide till I said something. I don't mean that arrogantly, but it's the truth. And I say St. Charles, they go, St. who? They don't know. But yet people are willing to do it. Boy, I mean, covenant church gets to, they just get at it, you know. JDM too, boy. I got some JDM partners. I tell you one thing, son. Some people call them JDM groupies. I got a set of women follow me all over the world. About five or six of them. Range from 70 to 20. Makes for a great meeting. They're like cheerleaders. Yeah! It's the wildest thing you ever saw. You're following me for 20 something years. Some have died. And their kids now took over. And you know what they say? I said, what are y'all, girl? What are y'all? You don't change, Brother Jesse. I said, what? To what? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. This is kind of funny. It really is. It's kind of nice. I mean, they love the Lord with all their heart. I asked their husbands, I said, some of the ones that are married, I said, why don't y'all come? We can't keep up with them. He said, we go back to the room, they want to get together and talk about what you preach. He said, we're trying to sleep here, but they still talk about, they all excited. I thought, man, they saturated. They're so saturated, they're like a black hole. They're sucking in information. But the thing is, to eat too much, it's got to spit some out. Boom, and a quasar. Boom, pops out. And it's so powerful that it ignites other stars before their time. Bam! And I was like, my God, and you got a revival on your hand. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Did you pick it up today? Will you pick it up tomorrow? Will you train your children? Because you see, they're growing up in an atheistic world that is stupid to believe in God. Stupid. That's dumb. Tell them this. Your belief in God will save humanity. You living for God will save this planet. It may be a remnant, but will come out. Because if you choose that way, the only thing, brother, you got to look for, ma'am, is the grave. Amen. To them, you are fertilizer that rots and it's over. Who would want to believe such a stupid thing? Amen. I told a man this the other day, even if God didn't exist, it's fun believing in him. It's something to look forward to. Isn't that amazing? All those beats you got on them drums. I just think he's a fine drum. He got one of the best foots I've seen in my life. I'm a musician. I know a good foot when I hear it. I listen to his foot more than I do his hands. I go, go here with that bad foot. Now watch this. Even though he's sitting there. Watch this. And he ain't even near the drum. That's all in him. That's all in him. It's waiting to be manifested. That's the word of God. It's all in you. That's why we call this place Covenant Church. This is in you. The hope of glory. My God. So remember, this saving knowledge of scripture is a science, not of the intellect, but of the heart. So I ask you all this today. What do you want to do? Because what you're going to do will determine if you pick this up.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Did you pick it up today?
Amen.
Did you pick it up yesterday? I have a chapel in my home. And Kathy was getting dressed. I ran upstairs and to the chapel and I took Holy Communion by myself. Amen. I do that quite often. I just walked. I said, Jesus, I said, years ago when I was a kid, I couldn't eat this wafer because they said I would bite Christ. I'm not saying that to be funny. You had to slowly let it dissolve the host so it slipped down your throat. I said, but I took that host today. I said, his body was broken. Boy, I broke that host. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm not sick, but by his stripes, I am healed. I took that juice. I pulled back that little tab. I said, this is representative. This is the greatest cleaning detergent the world has ever known. The blood of Christ. It gets out all stains. It doesn't just cover something, because that would make it bloody. It washes it all away. And I said, Lord, I thank you that I walk out with the covenant around me and in me and on me. And I walk in the fullness, and I will take this up again sometime today, tomorrow, all the days of my life. Amen. And I have beautiful artwork in my home. I collect a lot of art. And I have a chalice, which Meredith loves. She goes, trophy. She's in the trophies. And it was given to me as a gift. And when it was given to me, they didn't know they made a mistake. They thought it was just a new chalice. Well, you put the wine, they call it the wine. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Catholic chalice. I turned it over because I know something about artwork. And it was given to a priest in 1892. Now he's gone now. I still got his chalice. I said, look at this man. A preacher owned this. And a preacher owns it again. It was great, man. So I said, Lord, I honor that man. And these ladies, they all wrote their name on it, under it. They engraved it. It was the sisters of the poor did something for some priest. I looked at it and I went, man, I honor them. Now, when the people found out that it was inscribed, after the person paid for it, they went, oh, they lost about $10,000. Because if they'd have looked, all they do is turn the cup up. Immediately, it's an antique. Immediately, it's worth it. But they didn't. You know why? They just wasn't spiritual. They know more about that stuff than I do. But when I went, let me see what's hidden under here. And I said, Lord, you put this in the hands of a minister. When Jesus tarries, I'm going to place that thing in the hands of a minister. I want it to be there till you, Jesus, comes. Amen. Someone held the sacrament over 100-something years ago, honoring God, talking about the covenant. See, that's what that means to me. It's not just the cup, nothing. It's what that person did to hold that cup.
Amen.
See, so pick it up today and pick it up tomorrow. And if you got a hard time giving and we're going to receive the offering in a minute, pick up the Bible. It'll help your wallet. It'll inspire you. Instead of going, oh, Lord. Because in there is the harvest of what you believe in for.